has been one of those weeks when I have written two sermons at least. So you can have multiple choice. You want one, two, or maybe three. This is seemingly a fairly direct, straightforward text. Jesus meets the woman at the well. He's Jewish, obviously. She picks up on that right away. And she's a Samaritan. Well, Samaritans and Jews don't even hardly talk. What in the world is Jesus doing in Samaria? He's on a journey between Judea and Galilee, and he could easily have walked a little further and missed Samaria. But he didn't. So I would say Jesus purposefully walked through Samaria, perhaps just for such an encounter as the one we read about. The Samaritans were everything that the Jews hated. I know that's a strong word, but they were absolutely everything the Jews hated. The Samaritans had intermarried with the people in the region. They share a common heritage. Jacob's well is mentioned there. Sounds familiar, should be in common. And yet, the Samaritans only paid attention to the first five books of the scripture, the Pentateuch. And all of their guidelines for living came from just that much of the scripture. They didn't pay any attention to the wisdom literature, which would include the Psalms, which would include Proverbs. And they did not pay any attention to the prophets, you know, like Jeremiah and Isaiah. They also did not worship in Jerusalem at the synagogue there or the temple there. And so, there is this animosity between the two groups. Now, one of the reasons that I read somewhere, and I'm sorry I can't give you the source, that the Samaritans did not worship in Jerusalem was they were not allowed to help to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem after the Israelites came back from captivity. I read something different about every source that I read this week about the animosity between Samaritans and Jews. Kind of like that story I heard when I was growing up between the animosity between the Hatfields and the McCoys in the mountains. Nobody really could tell you for sure why they hated each other, but they hated each other. Not any really good, sound reason. It had been lost in history. And that seems to be the case between the Samaritans and the Jews. And so when Jesus comes to the well and asks the woman for a drink, she says, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" You know, when we read scripture, we just read it. But what about it? What if this woman had a little attitude about it? You know? Who's he thinking he's going to ask her for a drink of water? And it tells us parenthetically, Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. That's because they do not have the same purity laws. So if Jesus drinks something out of a vessel that a Samaritan handled, he will become impure. Does Jesus care? No. But he's also sitting there in the noonday sun. I imagine he's pretty thirsty. He has no bucket. He has no way of drawing water out of this very deep well. But it's interesting. Men were not supposed to speak with women. According to some of the rabbis, they were not even supposed to speak to their own wife in public. And yet here Jesus is speaking not only to a Samaritan, but also to a woman. And he continues to pursue a discussion with her. He doesn't just say, "Give me the water," and then leaves her off. that continue to talk. And he talks about this living water. If she knew who he was, he would be giving her living water. Now, for a Jew or a Samaritan, either one, that living water would be special. That means there's flowing water. It could be a stream. It could be an artesian well. And it would mean that that water is pure. And if in one of the baths that they use for purification, the Jews, if there was actually flowing water in there, they considered it a better purification. So this running water, this living water, sounds really good to the Samaritan woman. She'd like some of that. It would be pure, and she wouldn't have to keep coming to this darn well all the time. It would save her a lot of work. So she's trying to get her head around this whole idea of this living water that this man is talking to her about. And then he changes the subject on her. Go tell your husband. Well, she's a nice, straightforward woman. Honest. I don't have one.
I know. You've had five.
We can get into all sorts of speculation about what happened or what those five husbands might represent, but it seems to me that it really doesn't matter to Jesus. She had five husbands, and this is a way that he can say to her, I know you've had five husbands, and it gives her the knowledge that this man is somebody special. She says, a prophet. And yet, Jesus continues to let this conversation evolve. Because now she brings up the subject, well, we worship in different places. And Jesus basically says, in God's realm, that's not going to matter. It's not going to matter where we worship. We'll worship in spirit and in truth. And then finally, she talks about the Messiah, and the only Messiah that she would have heard about from those first five books of the Bible are one that Moses says will come after him, who will be a great prophet. And yet she raises the subject, the possibility of the Messiah. Jesus seems to enjoy engaging with this woman. And if you'll remember the conversation he had with Nicodemus, he got a little irritated with Nicodemus. He was a teacher in the church. He should have known better. But the Samaritan woman questions, explores with him, and Jesus seems to meet her one-on-one, face-to-face, in a very unique exchange. It's almost as if he appreciates her naivete and her dedication to her faith. He doesn't challenge her and say, oh, you're wrong to believe this. No, he accepts her where she is, believing what she does. He does not judge her in any way. He accepts her. And this is quite remarkable because the Samaritans are hated by the Jews. Jesus breaks down barriers. Jesus does not raise barriers. Jesus breaks them down. If you want the living water, you may have the living water. I will give you eternal life. Just believe in me. The woman is so excited by the possibility that this man really could be the Messiah. It's not as clear as it says it in here. In this translation, it says, I am he, the one speaking to you. In the actual Greek, it just says, I am the one speaking to you. Doesn't help a whole lot. But she makes that interesting leap. He could be the Messiah. And she's so excited, she leaves her jar there and runs to the village to tell the people. And meanwhile, the disciples are sitting there going, he's been talking to a woman. He's been talking to a Samaritan. And the Samaritans believe her. And they come out and they invite Jesus to stay. And he stays 2 days with those dreadful Samaritans. And they say, he is the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. You didn't put any conditions on it. You don't have to believe this, 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 this. You just have to believe in Jesus. That wellspring of eternal life who will nourish you from this time on and forever, and you will never thirst again. How many times do we put conditions on people? They don't believe like we do, therefore, they're not a part of us. I've never seen anything in Scripture that talks about denominations. Have you? I've never seen anything in Scripture that Jesus says that in order to be saved, you have to believe this, 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 and this. There's no orthodoxy in what Jesus shares with people. What Jesus shares with people is love and believe in me. And that's what's so important about this story. You put in the place of Samaritan any group of people you might dislike intensely, because we wouldn't hate anybody. We're good Christians, right? Put in there, instead of Samaritan, any group of people you fear, any group of people you believe are wrong in the way they live their lives. And think about it. If Jesus is the Savior of the world, what would he say to those people that you don't like? What would he say to those people that you don't like their lifestyle? Would he be like the pastor who looked at me and said, because you're divorced, you're a failure? Would he deny anybody the loving embrace of the church? Would he deny anyone, for any reason, a full, loving life in any lifestyle? Jesus, the Savior of the world, what does he mean to each of us? Savior of the world. Let us pray. Oh Lord, help us to see the world through the eyes of Jesus. Eyes that love, that do not condemn or judge. Eyes that accept. Eyes that give life. Full life. Eternal life. Amen.